Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
It's Monday, and that means several millions of things. It means millions of things, but in our little part of the internet, it means the Luke and Pete show's happening. Hello, my name is Pete Donaldson. I am 39 years old. I'm 40 next month, and I'm very much looking forward to having a little beer in the beer garden all by myself, Zippy. Luke Moore is also with me as well. I don't know how old Luke is or even how old he's going to be in April, but could be anything, couldn't it? 45?
I'm already 40. I'll be the same in April. Nothing to see here. And a very warm welcome and hello to our listeners and to you, Peter. You mentioned there our little corner of the internet. I wonder what our little part or corner of the internet actually looks like.
It's on the bad server. It's on the bad server with like 4chan and X videos.
And I think there's loads of like different computer parts on the floor in the corner. With you kind of hunched over it.
I genuinely, last week, I was trying to fix a bit of studio equipment, or at least upgrade it anyway, and I took a bit of it home to see if I could make it work on my machine, because it wasn't sort of operating very well on ours. And I'd taken I had bits of computer everywhere. I had wires everywhere. The office that I work in wasn't particularly tidy. And I had one of those genuine, I don't know what I mean, the way I dress suggests that I definitely do know the inside of a breakdown, but I never sort of felt genuinely that it was getting on, things were getting on top of me to this degree. And I genuinely thought, this, you are disgusting. The way you live your life is disgusting. And I looked around and
it's the straw that broke the camel's back.
Honestly, I never get like that because I'm a pig. I'm a slob. I don't mind mess, but I was genuinely surrounded by HDMI cables and bits of computer parts. And I was like, hey, this is enough. This has to stop somehow. This has to stop, Donaldson.
You've adopted the darkness there. You weren't born in it, and it's come back to bite you. So what? Describe the scene. Describe the scene. Describe how you reacted to it.
15-meter HDMI cables, bits of my what you would describe as a gaming production computer all over the place. There's graphics cards on the floor. There's bits of, I mean, I still find little screws floating around now, little cable screws that hold in.
Were you
hold
in the garage?
Bits of, no, I was in this room. I was in this very room, and I just had genuinely had a bit of a had a bit of an episode.
What does your good lady partner think about it?
She didn't notice any different. She didn't even notice the difference, to be honest. But I it just got too much. And like, I don't know whether this is me approaching my 40s or what, but I was up at 12 o'clock last night or this morning. I had to be in for the ramble. Like, I got to get up half six, seven for that. But I was still up at midnight because I had decided I was getting annoyed by my fridge. So I was reversing the door. So it opens from the left to the right rather than right to the left. And that was a job that I thought was going to take 5 minutes and took half an hour. And yeah. I knew I had to be up early. So if my performance on this show isn't my very, very low watermark that I usually bring to the show,
I don't think people
it's because
mate.
I was up very, very late trying to reverse the door on a fridge. It's reversed now, though. But all it does is it means that I'll go to the door, the side of the door I think it's going to be on the right-hand side, and then I'll give it a good couple of tugs and then have to go on the left-hand side. So I've mugged myself off there.
I think first and foremost, you know, there are many people listening to this show, and myself included in this bracket, by the way, who wouldn't be able to change the door in a fridge. So kudos for you for that. I think if I went anywhere near the fridge with the intention of doing that, my wife would rugby tackle me to the ground and stop me, and rightly so, and she'd be in the right there. But secondly, this is kind of reminding me of a very sort of pandemic-related, domesticated version of the Russell Crowe vehicle, A Beautiful Mind, where he descends into madness because of equations and all the different things that he's thinking about in his head. And he starts to think that, you know, the CIA at the bottom of his garden and all that kind of stuff. I mean, if it wouldn't be too offensive, I would probably call your version of it a crap mind.
Yeah. But
you are essentially experiencing the same thing as the great John Nash. Is that fair?
Yeah, a beautiful HDMI cable mind. Just a mind.
And you're growing your hair long as well at the moment. So
you're
going a bit Piers Corbyn, actually, I think.
Piers Corbyn, where's that come from? I'll take that. Well, he's quite handsome, isn't he? Quite good looking.
No, you're thinking of someone else. Piers Corbyn is Jeremy Corbyn's brother.
Oh no, I thought you meant his son. His son's a bit of a spunk. Never mind.
Is he?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, give him a little Google.
If Piers Corbyn was interested in the samurai, you'd be Piers Corbyn.
Can I get away with that as a ponytail? Because lads have quite short ponytails. I just need to... Because have you seen Matthew Wright on the television? He's got like a Bobby Baggio, complete normal haircut, slight mullet, but then at the end it turns into a weird rat's tail. It's fantastic. I don't know what he's doing.
The best
he's
ever thing
that
Matthew
mind.
Wright happened on Matthew Wright's show is that there was that bloke who just used it as a vehicle to start a slagging off his ex-wife.
Yeah,
and he kept ringing up.
And I think we may have played out parts of it, but it was. I mean, let's not go into the details on International Women's Day. But he was.
I don't think he was criticising women in general. It was a man who was just taking the piss out of his ex-wife.
But it's the canary in the mine of horrible men, isn't it? Really, it's indicative of
a wider
it is. Yeah, I agree. All that business. Yeah. I am definitely the canary in the mine when it comes to men's issues. Yeah, the man was kept on ringing up Matthew Wright and slagging off his wife. He would pretend that he was coming on the show under the auspices of wanting to talk about, I don't know, climate change or something. And then in the middle of it, you go, Sharon's up, and have a go at his wife. But that wouldn't be interesting, except the fact that he managed to get on twice, like at the same time as himself, effectively.
I think it was three times.
He had one phone on the go, got on with a producer, clearly put on a different voice for the second producer, and managed to get on live twice at the same time. It was an astonishing bit of work.
It was
work.
Kind of like
Wonderful.
A daytime TV version of Escape from Alcatraz.
It was fantastic.
Very impressive. I mean, the actual feat itself, very impressive.
Yeah. Wonderful.
But they shouldn't have done those crimes beforehand.
Yeah.
Pete, I think, look, I'm happy to put this out to the listenership. As we know, Nat does an excellent job on the social media of kind of canvassing our listenership's opinions. Mm. And let's be absolutely fair, by the way. Based on the correspondence we receive from our listeners via email or social media or whatever, they're a pretty switched on bunch. I mean, so we could ask them if a man approaching 40 should have a mini ponytail.
Yeah, but look, I already do loads of stuff that is unbecoming of a man approaching 40.
Breaker,
I just think any man, can any man get away with a ponytail? I that's all I need. The problem is my hair is too long. I've got a mullet going. I'm not really sure which direction to go. I'd just like a little bit of time to decide, all right? I just want a bit
that's
of time.
That's all we all need. I think can any man get away with a ponytail? I would say that, you know, Matthew McConaughey could get away with a ponytail, I reckon.
Yeah, but famous people are iconic by their very nature. You see someone often enough, Mr. Tumble is iconic. But he's still a man dressed as a clown at 50. So, like, it's you know, if you are well known, you are allowed to get away with loads of stuff. I'm not well known. You're not well known. We can't get away with it. All right,
Mr. Tomboy is a man dressed. Mr. Tomboy is a man dressed as a clown at 50, and you are a man dressed as a clown at 39.
I'll take it. Don't mind. Yeah. Don't mind it.
I only really. Publicly slate your appearance, Peter, as many listeners will have worked out by now, just to cover my own insecurities, because you are a brave dresser, you are a inspirational dresser. When it comes to formal wear, you do things in a slightly different way. I think most people that encounter you respect it, because you're thin and have got that profile, you can get away with that type of stuff. Good for you, mate. You break every rule you want. I don't mind. I'm on board with it.
But hair is your forte, and you won't have a ponytail.
It's not really.
In
mine
this
just
parish.
Grows. As you famously said, mine just grows out like a badly stuffed sofa. That's all it does. It doesn't really grow long. It just grows out. So I'm in need of a haircut. Out of desperation, I actually emailed the local place I go to and said, listen, pal, are you taking bookings or what? Because I need to get this sorted out. And he replied saying, not at the moment, I'm afraid, but I'll let you know. I'll email you back. So I've got no immediate prospect of getting some kind of you know, what's it called? Recourse to sorting this barnet out. So I'm in the same boat as you. I'm also wearing a shacket today, Pete.
Oh, I like a shacket. Big fan of that. But
yeah,
I just like the idea. I mean, is this what you're going to be wearing for your London mayoral bid?
Oh, fuck you now. Why won't he just dick off that guy? Why is there a man who is essentially a men's rights activist? Basically, a problematic subreddit in human form. That looks like me, but more successful than me. And now he's embarrassed himself and is no longer successful. And it's a continual thorn in my side.
Look, I've said before, it looks like you if you were halfway into turning into a mouse. So
he's even slimmer than me, actually, which is also frustrating.
He's got an extremely thin head. It's very interesting. But have you seen the video of him strolling around an abandoned restaurant in his mayoral video? I don't know whether he's broken his foot or something. But
we're talking about Lawrence Fox, by the way.
Fox is going. It's always the last bastion, last stand of an absolute scoundrel going for London mayor. Everybody gets up to it, don't they? Anyone who's got a little bit of profile thinks they can do it, but it's actually a lot more difficult than you sort of realise.
What would you do on day one?
I would pour gelatin into the Thames, and we'd have a big old bounce. Be a lovely old job.
But it's still less ridiculous than the Garden Bridge.
Yeah, I forgot about the Garden Bridge. Is that happening? Are we having that?
No. $50 million down the drain.
Good. What, 50? What have they done?
No,
$50 million?
I mean, presumably it's taxpayers' money as well, which makes it even worse. But
were they going to spend
$250 million? Yeah, I know what you mean.
Is it $250 million or something? Is it? It can't be $250 million. $250,000 on improvements to 10 Downing Street. Apparently, that's an amazing bit of work, isn't it?
How big is 10 Downing Street, though?
I reckon it's chunky. And can you imagine all the shit that's in the walls and the secret secret tunnels and stuff? Exciting.
I don't know if that's true, is it? Is there really going to be secret tunnels everywhere?
A little alcove or something you can hide in. Case of bother.
Oh, that's not as impressive. Did I tell you that when I went to Buckingham Palace that there's a fake fireplace where the Queen emerges from? Did I tell you that?
Yeah, no.
I went to Buckingham Palace because they opened some of the staterooms summer before last. Mm. It took some of our American relatives there because they're into it. And to be fair, it was quite good because Buckingham Palace has got an amazing art collection in some of these rooms and they opened them all up. And there's one bit of it where you walk along quite a long, narrow room. And obviously, you've got the headset on and getting the tour information They have some, it's fucking Stephen Fry or Bill Bryson or whatever. Actually, Bill Bryson does the Roman baths in Bath. I think this one was Stephen Fry. Anyway, I digress. And they're talking to you about the stuff. And they say, if you look over to your right, there's a painting from, you know, a Rubens or whatever, and all the rest of it, because they've got an amazing art collection. The curator of the art, I think the Royal Family's official art expert or curator was outed as being a Soviet spy in the 50s or 60s, wasn't he? Anyway, that's a digression again. So at the end of this long room, Anthony Blunt, that was his name, at the end of this long room, there's these two fireplaces, right? One of them's actually a fireplace. And the voiceover said, if you look at the other one, it's a little gap. So yeah, you crane your head around, you can see a little gap. And basically, it's a fake fireplace with a secret entrance that when you meet the Queen in certain occasions, she comes out of the fireplace. And then when she's finished, she goes back in there again, so she doesn't have to go through all the public bit. Incredible. Ah,
that's clever, isn't it?
Proper Harry Potter stuff.
What if she gets soot on her hat?
No, it's not a real fireplace.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I forgot about the first bit again. What if she dies in a blaze?
Yeah, it's not going to... Well, listen, at the time of recording, that hasn't happened. If it does happen, it won't be due to that fireplace, which isn't real. Speaking of secret things behind...
Probably got super cyan because you're so angry.
Yeah.
About the interview.
Speaking of the things behind fireplaces, Pete, you shared an amazing thing with me today about this fake mirror in a New York apartment. That was incredible.
Oh, I love anything. I love... it's a great kind of collection of, like, bad city landlords. Secret rooms, and also possible sexual misdemeanors. I think that's the major one. So this woman in New York it was a video on probably Reddit or YouTube or something. This woman is in her apartment and she's recently rented, and she goes into her bathroom. She always feels this weird kind of like breathy gust on her. She feels a bit like, why is it a bit chillier in here? Why is there a breeze coming from somewhere? And she can't figure out where it's from. At one point, she thinks it's coming out the door. For some reason, it's not coming out of the vent in the bathroom. And then she realizes it's just kind of coming out of the wall. So she lifts the mirror off the wall, and to find out that behind the mirror is just a hole that goes into an adjoining apartment.
Absolutely chilling. It is chilling. I thought it was a viral trailer for like a movie or something.
She's very charismatic, she's very funny, and she tools up and she clambers through into basically like a mirror image of her apartment, like an entire kind of apartment block that you can sort of gain access to through her mirror. It was like the video game Darkseid, if you remember that back in the day. It's just amazing. A really fascinating, horrible vision of New York in a city.
We'll share it on the social media. We're getting that to share it because it's worth a watch. But it reminded me, sort of long time listeners of the Luke and Pete Show will remember the video we became obsessed with a bloke in Hartlepool who's just exploring around with a head torch like an abandoned cinema in Hartlepool. It was like a more chilling version of that, but weirdly not as depressing.
I guess not.
Anyway, we flitted around all over the place there. We've taken in so many different subjects there for one half of a Luke and Pete Show episode, even for us. So let's take a little break. When we come back the other side, I think we're going to do, I'm being reliably informed, we're going to do some of your life hacks, which will be exciting. So stick around for that.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit. And he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
And we're back. It's the Luke and Pete Show. I enjoyed very much, Luke, the way that you went, I'm reliably informed, and you sort of touched your ear as if you're wearing an earpiece and you've got a producer in your ear. I'd like to disavow.
Me and Nat, we keep that to ourselves, me and Nat. You can't be trusted, mate. That's what.
Pete's a fucking prick, isn't he?
Nat, you can't say that about Pete. That is absolutely outrageous. Sorry, mate. Just, hang on, give me a second. Nat, that is outrageous. I mean, that is true, to be fair. But you can't say that these days.
Nat's got a very unlovable big bar of dairy milk that's got like a Spurs logo on the front. To excite the Spurs fan within her.
There's nothing unlovable about a kilogram-sized chocolate bar. It's a massive
chocolate bar, right? And it's just branded normally. And then they've got an outer cardboard wrapper that just says "One of Us" and a Spurs logo. And I just think, look, you need to try harder. Put it on the chocolate bar itself or nothing. Yeah. Don't try curry my favour with a bit of print finishing.
Like, Ian Wright got one of those the other day with a like a proper presentation case and everything. I was very, very jealous of that.
Didn't they give LL Cool J a lead shirt recently? That was, I think Marcus sent that on the Ramble Group.
It was definitely a football shirt.
It was a weird one because it was Leeds and it had LL Cool J written on the back of his shirt. I didn't realise that LL Cool J was even interested in soccer. I guess they must just send loads of these beautifully presented kind of boxes out just to curry favour with the LL Cool J.
I'm yet to receive. I mean, is LL Cool J even still doing stuff?
Yeah, he's still around, isn't he?
He's acting now, isn't he?
He's a pretty good still guy. Yeah, he does a bit of acting here and there, doesn't he? Yeah. Little job. Anyway,
before the break, I promised you guys that I'd share some of your guys' life hacks. We shared this on social media, which is hello@lukeandpeteshow.com for the email, but @lukeandpeteshow on Instagram and Twitter. And we're just interested in what people would share for the things that make their lives a little bit easier. As the kids call them these days, they don't call them these days. This is probably an old-fashioned old man thing to say, but life hacks, right?
Life hacks.
And I'm going to read you through a couple, and by all means, send some in if you haven't sent any in so far, and we'll read out our favourites. Because there's one on this list that is a huge bone of contention between my wife and I, because she, being Italian-American, regularly just absolutely chastises me for it. And I'm going to start with this one. It's by MCFC40, who says, cutting pizza with scissors is much easier than cutting it with a pizza wheel, which I totally agree with. But every time I try and do it, I get absolute pelters from my wife, who says, it's just sacrilege. You can't do it.
it's pizza wheels are not something that, which is not just a knife, like more than a pair of scissors.
No, scissors is really easy, mate. You should try it. Get your kitchen scissors. Well, having said that, your kitchen scissors are probably stuck in some PC somewhere. But put it through the dishwasher first and try it. It's so much easier than anything else.
But the thing with the pizza, using a pair of scissors, though, like as it gets closer and closer to the little bolt that joins the two blades together, I always sort of see that as being a bit dirty because it's quite hard to clean. So it just gets rusty and rusty. So I wouldn't really like to do that, to be honest. I don't think I'd like to do that.
Don't do it.
I won't do it.
What about this from Soswell, who says, wash your hands in freezing water after cooking with garlic to get rid of the smell?
What? Does that actually work? I thought it was like, well, I thought salt sort of did it.
I don't think it does work. And I've got this stainless steel thing in my kitchen that you just wash your hands with that. And it that does work. Stainless steel does work.
Do you remember I said that a man came to my door and sold me some magic beans, some kitchen appliances and bits of tat from China? One of the things that I bought from him were some like anti-smelly balls you throw in the fridge, so that it means that it gets rid of some of the stinky smells from like cheese and meat and stuff like that. And last night when I was flip reversing the old fridge freezer, one of them dropped on the floor and opened up, and it's literally just a plastic ball with holes in it, and inside one of those little silica gel packets.
Oh my God!
I imagine the principles. I imagine. Oh, it was about 10 quid. Idiot! Absolute idiot! I could have found one in my shoes. I was so. It just got worse. It just got worse and worse. That whole situation when I saw that little silica gel. Do not eat. Of course, I ate it. I wanted to get something out of it.
Yeah. Oh, listen. If I pay a tenner for it, I'll do what I want with it. Thanks very much.
Yeah. Exactly.
Ollie Arley says that eating the entire kiwi is good for you and saves time peeling. My wife also eats the entire kiwi. She doesn't peel it. I always have peeled it traditionally.
It can sometimes irritate the top of the roof of your mouth or burn your tongue a little bit because it's just very abrasive. It's like eating sandpaper. But I do agree. I will usually eat everything apart from the skin. I mean, just the flesh of the fruit, and then I'll sit there on my desk, and then I'll just get bored and eat that anyway. If there's something on my desk that I can eat, I will eat it eventually.
Yeah, if it's there long enough, there's a graph, there's an x and y axis that crosses over at some point. Time on one side, your hunger, anything in your way will
that
just get
skin
eaten,
getting
basically.
Eaten.
and I'll finish with this one with from the aptly titled Phil for President, who's got a good money-saving tip here, which would go down well specifically, I suppose, if you were a very fiscally aware president. He says, always fill your date up on bread to avoid paying for dessert. Which is,
wise.
I mean,
presidential
it's a bit
bid's
of a
not
callback
gonna go anywhere.
To our dinner date. It's a bit of a callback to our dinner date conversation, but I mean, that's not a great look, is it? Just shoving bread in your date's mouth, just across the table.
Yeah, it's not great, especially if they're on a low-carb sort of diet. How would you do that, though? I mean, you would just sort of lure them in by going, this bread is heavenly. This bread is something.
Yeah, I get the principle
really
of it.
Is.
I'm not someone who, and nor are you, Pete, by any means. I'm not someone who is, I don't scrimp on stuff. Like, if we're going out for dinner, we're going out. I'm not going to look at a check. You're going to go and do it, go and do it. Don't go with half an eye on how much money you're going to spend. Mm. Otherwise, I'd rather go once a month and have a really good time than once a week and be worried about whether I can afford it or not, right? Mm-hmm. So the point I was just going to make, though, was that I am semi-aware when you go to a really nice restaurant, say as a birthday treat or as a special occasion, and you know it's going to be expensive, you know the food's going to be amazing, and they will bring you this delicious, probably freshly baked warm bread. And you know what it's like. You have one slice of it, you end up going for about five of them. And I am always like semi-aware that if I carry on doing this, I'm not going to enjoy the food. But it's very hard to stop. So I don't know what their rationale for doing it is.
Yeah, especially in like when I was in Italy last year, I was doing that quite a lot. Because, you know what it's like. It takes ages for everyone to get ready and get out and you have a couple of beers and stuff. And then you're absolutely famished. You're absolutely ravenous. And then you sit down and you just absolutely load up on bread. And then in Italy, obviously, there's, you know, you get two bloody courses before, and then dessert on top of that. Oh man, wild, just absolutely stodged.
It's also it's just a nice nostalgic idea, isn't it, to think about going out for dinner?
Oh bloody mate, hell. I would eat the bin bread that people leave out for the ducks.
You do,
and
do that,
have
don't
done. Like my dog fucking does, and then vomits in the night.
Don't seriously though. Don't feed ducks bread. That's bad.
I'll
don't
do
feed
what
them
I want.
It. Don't.
What do you want me to feed them? Old tires.
They like peas. They like
peas.
Shredded lettuce. They like
shredded
cooked
lettuce.
Rice. They like oats. Yeah.
I thought rice. If you give birds rice, it they swallow it and then they explode. That's what I heard.
Yeah, that happens. Yeah, that's definitely something that happens in real life. Yeah. No, I said cooked rice. Apparently, that's what they like. Shredded lettuce, peas, cooked rice and oats. There's a sign up in my local park saying this is what if you really want to feed the ducks.
If you really want to feed a duck.
Feed them this.
Pad thai. Give them a pad thai.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's a bit like Ready, Steady, Cook, isn't it? Here's your ingredients. What are you going to make for the ducks?
Big horrible oat cake.
Yeah, with lettuce hanging out of it. I've got an email here as well. I really want to do this email because it's a callback to from our good friend Ali Darlow. Do you remember Ali?
Oh, I do a little bit. Yes,
emailed in with the amazing information about roughly 16.5 million Skittles per, what was it, kilogram of gold or something like that?
I found it quite difficult to read that one, to be honest.
Yeah, and he also, what we did is we sent him away with some homework saying, look, what is the colour split between these Skittles? Because obviously you get purple, orange, yellow, red and green Skittles. And he's come back to us. So listen, if you haven't heard that first email from Ali, it's unmissably good. So go back and listen to it now. If you have, stick around because I'm going to give you some more info courtesy of our good friend Ali. He says, guys, I'm going to make this punchier because last email was quite long, but I found an official scientific study from 2016 that documents the colour distribution of Skittles, which claims the following. Listen, I was surprised by this, by the way. I mean, if I said to you, Pete, what is the most popular colour of Skittle, what would you say?
Red.
Yeah, exactly. You'd say red. At a push, you'd probably say yellow, right? Mm. The most prevalent Skittle, coming in with a whopping 22.3%, is purple.
Oh, that's an interesting one. Is it because it's a mixture of all the colours? Well,
no, red and blue. 21.6% orange, 21% yellow, 18% red, right down there, and 17.1% green. Now, applying this to the amount of Skittles you would get overall, based on Ali's earlier email, you'd get 3,698,141 purple Skittles, 3,582,056 orange ones, 3,482,554 yellows, 2,985,046 reds, and a mere 2,835,734 green. How many Skittles would you have to eat before it killed you, Pete? Ali says this one was more difficult, but I'm going along the lines of how many calories there are in a Skittle and how many calories it would take to kill a 12-stone man. It's been a while since you were 12-stone, Pete. Is that fair?
What do you mean? As in, like, I've gone higher or lower? No, I'm just under 12-stone at the moment.
Okay, fine. So that's perfect. His numbers work. Great. Mm. So Ali says what we can do... Sorry, the best thing we can do is sum up this way. In terms of sugar, Pete, you would need to ingest almost 30 kilograms to have a 50 chance. No, so basically 30 grams per kilogram of your weight, I suppose, for it to give you a 50% chance of dying. So if you're 75 kilograms, which you are, you would need 2.25 kilos of pure sugar, and then you're not even guaranteed to die.
Right.
In calories.
Brain damage? Brain damage, please. I want Skittles. Oh, brain damage, please.
I'll come on to that. 9,000 calories of sugar to give you a 50% chance of death. So if we're applying this to Pete, we need to calculate 12 stone to kilos, 76.2. So quite close to the example figure. Now, instead of the 50% chance of death, which is stated, we're going to double it to ensure that you do die as per your request. So we need to find out how many Skittles it would take to consume just over 4.5 grams of sugar to guarantee a Pete Donaldson death by Skittles. Mm. In the previously mentioned 100-gram bag of Skittles, there is 89.8 grams of sugar. That's amazing. So they're 89% sugar. And each individual Skittle is 1 gram or just over. So there's about 0.95 of a gram of sugar in each one. Stick with me here. We're using these as workings. It would take 4,765 Skittles, give or take, to kill you, Peter. Converting that weight into weight for perspective, that's just over 5 kilograms of Skittles. So in order to kill yourself by Skittles, based on Ali's rudimentary maths, 5 kilograms of Skittles should do the trick. He said, I love the show. I'm happy to be your confectionery weight amount correspondent.
Those are some maths.
Yeah, if you do that live on a Luke and Pete show, I mean, Ali presumably will like the show less because you will no longer be on it.
It would just be a man just Skittles rattling around a man's gullet. Look, I'm willing to give it a go. 5 kilograms seems doable. I mean, it just seems... Because you know, like when you're a kid... And the 1 kilogram weight was always like the heaviest weight you had access to. And he always thought I was quite heavy. But now, like, you sort of go, I reckon I could do four kilograms of Skittles.
Well, you have to do 5 kilos, right? And that means That's 50 100 gram bags, which is the bigger bag. Good to 50.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, right. The Skittles are lighter than I realised. Okay, fair dues. I think, yeah, I just want to know the number that I can go up to. And then
safely.
And then one over, I'm done. I'm absolutely done.
It's an amazingly researched email. Let's give him credit for that. I mean, God, that's fantastic. Took him.
Could I do like a speedball? Like I ate something salty, something like a load of pepperamis. If I'm like Ali, sort of freebasing pepperamis.
Let's ask Ali how easy Pete could kill himself via Skittles if he was to move on to hard drugs, i.e., inject them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think
one, spoon, if you inject them
if
in.
You. If you injected like 3 Skittles, I reckon you'd probably die.
It's not good. I don't think injecting yourself with molten Skittles is going to be very good for you.
No, but you just wonder what it would do. Would you just hang around in one thing, or would it actually start to? It would
do you
probably
you get
just
a buzz.
Yeah, why not? It would be exhilarating. However you do it. This has been the Luke and Pete. That's such a good email. Thank you very much for researching that.
I'd like to know what it is in minstrels, because I like a minstrel.
Stop this. We have to move on. We'll be back on Thursday. Let's do it on a Thursday, people. Let's do it in the road like the Beatles. We'll be back on Thursday for more of that. If you want to get in touch with the show, it is very simple. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com is our email address. Our Twitter is at lukeandpeteshow. We've also got an Instagram as well. You can find it at the same place, at lukeandpeteshow. I hate when people put at Luke and like at Twitter profile on their Instagrams if they don't have the same Instagram profile, because you click on it and you go, that's not the same profile. You've assumed that I'm going to copy and paste that into Twitter. That's annoying, that. But we've not done that. We've managed to secure both of our IP.
Uncharacteristic for us.
I know, right? We'll be back on Thursday for more of that. See you soon. Say goodbye, Lukey.
Goodbye, Lukey.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit. And he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late. late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.